We have been in the series of the Gospel of John, and we will continue that next week. We took a pause last week because we were covering the subject of Israel and what's going on in the Middle East, and I wanted just to share with you the scriptures so that we would be properly balanced and informed on that. Today, I want to give you a special challenge as a church and let you know what some things are on my heart. And in order to do that, I need to lay out a whole thing about our trip being here in Singapore. The question I think that comes to the fore for driving my heart is, what is it that would make the biggest difference for the growth of the church and for the health of the Church of Jesus Christ globally? Well, the best thing that I think has for the world today is to have healthy churches. Not weak churches, not anemic one, not materialistic, not Corinthian type of divided churches that are worldly or immature, but have healthy, growing, mature churches. That is the crying need globally. Every place you go in the world, you can hear the statement, yes, we've been evangelized, but we're a mile wide and an inch deep. And that I could say of the U.S. as well as I could say of any place in the world. To have a healthy church means to develop it, not become isolated, but to deepen it, to strengthen it so that it is robust, it is able to withstand trials, it is not split apart, and it is also reproducing. Well, the key for that is going to have healthy, strong leaders. You cannot have a strong church without strong leadership. So then the question is, what could I contribute in building the church by training men for leadership as pastors in their church? So that's what set us on the focus of doing that. How do I do that? Well, this is what God has called Jackie and I to be part of, training them. The best way in which I can train a pastor for leading a church is to help him interpret the Bible properly. So developed courses. I teach 6 Bible courses on interpreting different types of literature in the scriptures. Basic Bible interpretation, New Testament, Old Testament narrative, that is stories. Poetry like the Psalms and Proverbs. Prophecy like the book of Revelation. And the New Testament epistles, of course. Paul, James, John, the like of that. From that comes in theological conviction. So I have 3 theology classes that I've written that teach us, based upon your interpretation of the scripture, what do you believe about God, the Bible, Jesus, sin, salvation, the church, Holy Spirit, all of these sort of topics, all covered in those statements, which I help pastors develop into discipleship material. That then leads to practical ministry. What do I do? Well, how do I preach a sermon? How do I counsel people? How do I disciple them? How do I lead? How do we do missions and evangelism? 14 courses is what I haven't even actually written them all yet. I've got most of them written down. And in bringing these to different countries, Singapore becomes a hub for which I can access all these different countries. And when there was an opening and a connection when we initially moved here 5.5 years ago, this is why we came. In the midst of that, we've seen these development of this courses underneath what I now have developed to be Shepherds International Training Academy. This is my ministry. Shepherds International is my mission agency. We were sent out. It's from North Carolina in the United States. So I've just developed from their logo an International Training Academy, which is the 14 courses. It's non-accredited. Some places it's incorporated in schools so that it receives a diploma degree. Other places, they don't need the degree, the accreditation, and we just give them the training. Most of it is translated into different languages. I rarely have opportunities really to do it straight without a translator, so I have some sort of help. Let me show you where this is taking place. A couple weeks ago, I was in Myanmar. I've been going there. Obviously, we had a pause because of COVID. This is a group from the Naga Baptist Association way up in Kachin State. They've never had any Bible training. There's 126 churches, and so they sent down core 17 leaders. Actually, there used to be 20 But two have gone to be with the Lord, and another one is aged and he can't travel anymore. So it took him 2 days to travel down to Yangon. I spend a couple of weeks with them. So when I'm not here, I'm with these guys teaching them the different courses and bring them through the material. It gets translated into Burmese. And these are my brothers that I have. Lord willing, we'll finish them next year. All the coursework will be done for these fellows in Myanmar. And you can see typically what my classroom looks like with these fellows that are there and apart from their family for a few weeks, which they're in a training center that a missionary is operating. So that's one country. Here's the other one, Cambodia. This one was the first one I helped develop. It's been revamped underneath the Masters International, Masters Academy International, in conjunction with the Masters Seminary. And so I have a dozen guys that I work with and training and being translated into Khmer. I'm getting help with some fellows also from the Philippines who are working there. So this has been an ongoing, off and on one, and it will also be further developed and hopefully done within the next year. Bangladesh came about. All these places come about through connections and tie-in. And I talk with key host leaders. Boni Baroy, who our church supports, and some of his evangelists, have planted over 50 churches and villages in rural Bangladesh. And so they've asked me to come and to give the whole coursework. And so Lord willing, I'll go back there next February and spend some time there going with these guys. Every time I go, I spend a week doing another course. Either they're pastoring multiple churches or they have multiple jobs from all over the country. And so they can't gather together more than twice a year, which I can train them. And then recently, this has expanded beyond Asia. Now it's moved into Kenya. And so the African Inland Church, I've had a longstanding relationship with them. Pastor Isaac Akanyu said, would you come work in Bee Ridge Bible College? And bring your program. It'll be our degree, but we want your entire program to come in and train pastors. Having done this now, there's another school because they have multiple schools in the country. And when I go there, their semester lasts for 6 weeks. And they say, can you stay 6 weeks? I said, no, but we've done four. So it's just class after class, week after week, and then weekends preaching in different churches. And then I brought over books for their library. Last time I had a supporter who donated a bunch of books on how to build together a sermon. So this gives you some ideas. Now, this last trip in May, I went by myself. This last one, Jackie went with me. And so that's where, as you can see, I'm teaching classes there in the classroom. And this one is in English, even though some Swahili helps along the way. We celebrated our 37th anniversary. We did it Kenyan style. So they had a big celebration, dolled us up a little bit, and we had multiple cakes, and we had a big celebration. And then I have to show you another picture, and there's a story which goes beyond what you see here. Mount Elgon is a rural area outside of this city of Katali, which is an hour flight north of Nairobi. And so going up there, there's a missionary that is from Germany. She married a Kenyan man, and they run a medical clinic. And everything that comes in there is the only medical clinic for, hours radius. So we were there taking a tour. We got to know these people, wonderful servants of the Lord. And this teen girl comes in there, and she goes into labor. She's pregnant. At that time, we didn't know that she was pregnant with twins. So they were giving the tour around, and there was some other help. And so the host doctor said, well, I have helpers. They'll take care of her. And so then later, Jackie said, well, how's that lady? She went into labor. She goes, oh, yeah, she had twins, a boy and a girl. We're like, wow, don't you need to go see her? He goes, my helpers are taking care of her, but would you like to hold them? Well, you know, Jackie, she's the grandmother wanting to be here. So it's like, okay, yes, I do. Well, let me hold these babies. So she held them, and then the family was so honored by Jackie's attention. They said, can we name the kids after you? So meet James and Jacqueline, our namesakes. And so I said, wait a minute. We're not like obligating us to support them through their college education the rest of their life. No. Okay. Just want to make sure. But obviously we're going to keep prayers attached because, you know, little Jimmy up there in Mount Elgon's got to behave himself and make sure he treats Jacqueline nice. So anyway, that was just kind of a little special added thing to it. So this is what I do. If I'm not here, that's what I'm doing. I'm training at different places. Now, the question is where? Where is this all leading? Well, as you know, in Asia, there's Cambodia, Myanmar, and Bangladesh. But now I've just been invited to go to Jakarta, where they want to, in an existing school, have me be part of a program. And because of my degrees and experience, I need to go there as the government is going to sanction that. This they want to start next year in the fall, a program that will ultimately offer advanced degrees in Jakarta. As you saw, Africa came onto the picture. Initially, it's like, well, I'm in Asia, Southeast Asia. But the needs are growing there. And yes, beyond Kenya, now I've been invited to Uganda, neighboring city, just a couple hours from where I'm at in Kenya is the Uganda border. And I'm taking a Kenyan pastor who's been, I brought him to the U.S. just a couple weeks ago for a conference. We're going to be doing a scout trip next May and see if there's something that's going to be involved further there. But that's not all. The intensification goes now into Europe. The country of Albania, which used to be a communist country, closed country, has opened up. There has been strong missionary efforts that have been going there, offering holistic ministries that were allowed, and now they're planting churches, and they want to develop a school, a theological school, which they want me to be in leadership of. All of that posing a challenge. And that brings us to here today. The simple truth of the matter is, my brothers and sisters, is I cannot pastor this church if I'm doing all of that. The simple reason is I'm not here, and you may have been noticing I've been absent a lot. I certainly have noticed it. If you're watching online as well, Matt and Howard and Monica have been marvelous in filling in the pulpit, but I feel truant. I feel like an absentee father of the flock. This church was started by a full-time missionary, which was Rick Griffith. Rick and Susan were faithful here. They started this wonderful ministry. But Singapore Bible College was their primary mission. We came along as associate pastor, and that fit in nice. But then when they moved to Jordan, and a couple years ago when we assumed the pastoral position, I knew that this was going to be a challenge. And it was fine as long as it maybe stayed in Asia. But now that it's moving into different continents, and I have to be gone month at a time, this isn't going to be fair to you. And I cannot have that in my conscience. This church is too precious. Its work is something that God, I believe, is bringing together better and is going to develop further. So therefore, it requires someone who will make it its priority for their ministry here. So talk to the elders, because I realized that this summer. I talked to the elders in the late summer and basically said, next year I need to step down. The question is, where are we going to go? Because when I step down as pastor, I'm going to have to surrender my visa and we have to leave the country. We can't stay in Singapore. So knowing that I'm going to be gone, probably traveling up to half the year, Jackie will go on some trips, but she can't go on all of them. So rather than leaving her in a strange place, and she can't just stay here, even though you'll be glad to house her, she can't stay here on a DP. So the best place, the logical place, is to go back to the United States, where most of our children are on the East Coast. We purchased a home. Jackie was gone in July. I went and solidified some things just a few weeks ago in Raleigh, North Carolina. We have renters already there, and we won't be able to occupy it till next fall. At this point, our contract with our flat ends next August 1st. So we'll be here through July, and then we'll have to bid our farewells. Lord willing, we'll be passing back through here in the future for ministry that's still going on in Asia. But I believe that what it's best for Jackie being back in a familiar area with family, her sister moved out to the East Coast, our mission agencies there, that this is the best solution for right now. We love it here. We'd wanted to be here 10 years, and we'll have to settle for 6. But we're not gone yet. So often pastoral changes occur where there's an announcement, and then within the month or so, there's a departure. We are going to be here for the next, now, 8 to 9 months. So helping through transitions. If there's a transition in location, we're here. If there's a transition in leadership, which there will be, we'll be here to get that started. We need to start a pastoral search committee with the leaders, with the elders, Matt and Monik. I'll be an advisor to that. We're not sure what God's going to do next. That's what brings us to our challenge here. And I want to share important, and I hope everyone will see this, because this isn't the only time we're going to be saying this. If we're looking at Crossroads International Church, I want to just take the CIC and put some new letters to it, some new words to it. Let's take these to heart and let's review them, because I believe that this is a momentous time in the church's life. It was an easy transition moving when Rick was here, I don't know if there'll be a pastor in place by next July or where this church will be meeting for certain. So it's a year of transition for all of us. But I believe that the Lord is behind this. He's brought us together. Maybe if you've been more recently attending, some of you have been here before we were, when we moved here 5 years ago. You saw the transitions that were already going on and have had to live through COVID. But let me take you through CIC in a different way. First of all, and that's why I don't have notes, but remember this. First of all, now's the time to commit. I'm calling on people to say, this is our church. And the show isn't over just because Jackie leaves. More Jackie than me. because we're gone. No, this is a group that God has brought together by God's grace. There's stories we have shared. There's lives we've shared, especially through COVID, through crisis, through transitions, and all of that. And as I look around the room and others who I would probably see if I was talking to you live on Zoom, there are memories that we share together, and we'll always have those, and we'll still have more to come. But now's when we're calling for the people to commit. In what way? Well, first of all, let's commit to membership. Now I'm going to want to know who's in, who's here, who's going to say, this is my church, these are my people, and if you haven't officially become a member yet, I want to challenge you to consider doing that, being held accountable for your faith, being held accountable for growth, and to say, I'm in, this is my congregation, my people, God has called us to be here, or called me to be here, and yes, rather than just standing on the edge, I want to step forward. Rather than waiting to see what happens, I want to be part of what God is doing to make things happen. I want to challenge you to consider that. If you don't know what membership's about, we have a handbook we want to just send to you, digital, and read it over. What our philosophy of ministry is, what our doctrine is, ministries that are going on, then there'll be follow-up with an interview to find out how you came to know Christ. We just want to hear for a simple testimony. So that's pretty much it. Here that you have received Christ for salvation and become officially a member of the church. If you already have a membership in another congregation internationally, so do we. That's still fine. You could be a member of both places unless they say it's no good. But become a part of the fellowship here. Second of all is make a commitment to giving. The giving has been good. Our expenses have increased. And so that's where we have, by adding an extra room, while things have dipped over the past year in giving, it's still stronger than it was years ago. The challenge is to say, okay, I'm in and I want to make a contribution. I want to give generously to the Lord so that we can still support 20% of our budget goes to missions. We're trying to cut costs, which means, yes, maybe slicing into some of the honorariums, cutting back on our contract here, which is the determining factor that we are trying to shop around, whether it's a lateral move here or someplace else, and what that may entail. We've only got now another 8 Sundays left here in this contract. We haven't been given the new one yet, so we don't know what exactly increase may be there. We know it's not going to go down. So with all of that, there may be that change afoot. We're going to keep you alert to that as we have. But if this is not something you've stepped forward and committed yourself to, I want you to pray about doing this seriously on an ongoing basis, trusting as you give to the Lord that you will grow in your walk with the Lord as you depend upon Him. Also, I want to commit to the fellowship. One of the things that Jackie and I love to see is people interacting with each other after the service is done. Don't just dart out the door and head to lunch. Yes, we want to encourage you to have lunch together. If you have appointments, we understand that. Some people have work or the like. But the fact is that the reason why this works is because maybe we're apart from home and this becomes home. These are people that have been ones we've leaned upon. They're our people. They're our friends. They've been our prayer support. They've been the encouragement. Maybe for some of you who have been looking, because you're Singaporean, and you've been looking for a church that you feel maybe smaller, but one which is more, one I can be engaged in, one I can get to know people, this may be the place. So I'm calling upon you now to say, let's do this. Now is the time to come together rather than fracture and fall apart. Now's the time to come together and to say, who's the core? Who's in? Let's make this happen and trust in God in a new way that maybe we haven't had a chance to do before. And we'll have time together. We're not darting out the door too soon. We want to savor every moment we can have while we're here with you. And lastly, commit to ministry. We have wonderful amount of people. You've seen a rotation of a number of people who have up front in worship time, people who are working tech, people who are behind the scenes with children and other ministries which haven't been developed yet that we want to do, women's ministry or men's ministry. This is a place where you can get involved in a hurry. And in fact, that if that's intimidating, sorry, that's what we're about. We want you to become involved in something, and that can be an area of growth you've never done before. Maybe you said, I've never been a part of church where I've done this or that. Great, here's the time to do it, because the time is short. Let's make the most of it. Not just short with our time, but short in life in general. Let's not waste time, but let's find out, God, what do you want me to do? Well, that's going to bring us into the second part of the CIC, and that's intercede. Now's the time to come together and pray. Praying not just because it's an activity. Praying because we truly depend upon God. Lord, where's the world going? Lord, what's going to happen to my job? What's happening with the economy? Yes, we're praying for each other. What's going to happen to my health? What's happening to my kids? There's all of those things that we can stand together in. But also, let's come together and pray, God, who is the man you want to lead this church? You have to produce them. Maybe we can readily identify. Maybe not. Maybe someone will be in place before we leave. Maybe this church won't have a pastor by the time we leave. I don't know. That's why we need to come together consistently and pray together that, Lord, if you have this church together, this is not the end of it. This is the time of which there could be a momentous jump. I believe so. More people are going to be moving here to Singapore. You already know that. This is a place where rather than feeling closed out, they can feel enclosed within and warmly welcomed. We have our prayer meetings. We have our prayer journey. We have our prayer person. Even though Rick and Jeannie are leaving, believe it or not, next month and heading back to U.S., prayer goes on. Rick has been faithful to really generate this awareness of what's going on in each other's life. And now Fesse is continuing on with that. So I know God raises up the people for the work. We have a prayer meeting this Thursday night. We just bumped it up. Let's get to praying. And let's pray for God. Show us where you want us to meet. Show us what ministries you want us to have. And show us who the person is you want to bring to be the next shepherd. I'll be leading this prayer meeting Thursday night. So tune in for the WhatsApp, and you can get that Zoom link there, as this will be part of the prayer time we do every month. One more thing, and that's create. We want to commit to the Lord. by saying this is his church and we want to be a part of that because we are a part of it. We want to be in prayer because we depend upon the Lord to do things. And we've seen that happen within your family as well as within a corporate body. And lastly is to create. What ministries need to happen? One of them I know is to now focus upon young youth, teen age, young adults. We've already been planning some things. We're going to announce some things that will be happening for activities for next month. Why? It's because there's youth that are already here, and there's youth that are coming up through the system here. And you're going to have a big youth department within the next couple of years. It's already upon us. And so with that in mind, we're just praying for key people, and we've been having meetings, and more of that will be talked about. But that's a new ministry, hasn't been in existence as much. What other ministries might be here that God is laying on your heart to at least be aware of it? Not something else to dump on the leaders and say, you need to start this. Oh, wait a minute. If you come to us, I'm just letting you know. If God's burdening you, you're going to be part of the solution. So to say, here's a ministry, or here's something I can contribute, or here's something that maybe God's laying upon my heart. That's what comes with prayer. When you intercede and come before the Lord, he begins to lay some things upon your heart. And then you trust that he'll empower you to do something. Or if there's funds that are needed to launch something, he'll provide that. So then we just wait upon God and we take a step out in faith. So when we're looking at the future, and we'll rehearse this again and again, I want to challenge you to commit. Commit to this fellowship. Commit to the work that God wants to do here. If it's not here, find the place you want to be. But don't be on the fringe. Make a decision where God wants you to be and be part of that. Raise up the percentage of the people here at CIC who are actively involved. That raises up the unity factor. That raises up the intensity of the growth. That's why I always shoot for percentage of the people in the church, not the sheer quantity, but the percentage of the people who are growing. That's what a healthy church is about. From that is going to come leaders. God will then raise up people who maybe have never been involved in leadership before. But that comes from the commitment to the Lord. Praying together and praying for each other and praying for this ministry. That's the intercession. And then look to say, well, we haven't tried this before. There's a lot of things we may not have tried. But that's where some of the most impactful ministries happen. I can tell you as a pastor now for 35, 37 years, that the best ministries don't happen when I think of them. The best ministries happen when the people think of them. And I come alongside clap and cheer, and what can I do to help you? So it's not a matter of what Matt or Monic or me or anybody else is going in leadership is going to think of, or what is Madan going to do? No, what does God want me to do, and how can I be a part of that? And then that's what's exciting is to see the ideas that are hatched in the hearts of the people. So that's what makes this Sunday appropriate to take the Lord's Supper. That's why I asked Madan to lead that song again, God is so big and mighty, because I thought it was an appropriate one to complete. I wanted to share this message. Next week we'll be back in the Gospel of John. We're going to continue on through over the next couple of months. I'm not going anywhere, not traveling, until we get into January. But yes, next year is going to be hectic. I'm going to be in and out a lot. Our two sons are going to visit here. One's coming in a couple weeks. The other one's coming next month. So we'll have a chance to hopefully have our children, some of them, visiting here before we depart. All our kids to have come, want them to meet you and you them. As we have talked to a number of people, we haven't talked to everybody personally. We've done the best we can just in the past week or so, just to let you know where our heart's at. We do not want to leave, but we want to follow and be true to what God has called us to do. So part of your prayer is praying for us, because and you guys have had to face this too, Laura, you and Andrew, where you then go back. And you kind of have to go back, and there's a change, and then where do we fit in? So our lives are about to be rocked and changed over the course of this next year, but it has been marvelous in the change when we left to come here, when we didn't know what was to be waiting for us. So Well, let's look to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Gracious God, we come before you, thanking you. You're the one who brings us together. We may not have a lot of other things in common, from our background to our culture to our vocation, whatever it may be, but you bind us together in eternity in Christ Jesus, and that's what's wonderful about the church. Thank you, Father, for those work that you brought about with key people like Rick and Susan and Miriam and others who are part of forming this fellowship, and others who have been a part of this over the years who have moved or are in your presence. Thank you, Father, for your continual grace. And now guide us. We have important decisions to make over the course of the next few months. Help us as we do that. This is your work, so lead us as we go from here. In Jesus' name, amen.